Sports Dead & Gold podcast for week two of the National Rugby League season.
You're not keeping count anymore. No, keeping count on how many we're doing.
Oh, no, this is our 38th.
Yeah,
we're nearing our half century. My name's James Smith. I work at Inside Sport magazine as a cleaner. Do a bit of odd jobs around the joint. Mrs. Jeff Centenaro, he's the editor. How are you going, mate?
Oh, no, I work as the cleaner too. I think cleaning up other people's kind of mess.
Cleaning up mistakes from freelance journalists, except Matt Cleary.
Except the great Matt Cleary.
Welcome to the show. So, following on from a blockbuster week one of the NRL, we're going to have a bit of a look at what caught our eye and a bit of a theme around this edition, which is one that Jeff has come up with gradually over the past couple of hours.
Pin it on me, thank you.
Leading into this podcast is, will what happened in round one be able to be carried on through by teams and clubs and et cetera, through the year?
That's kind of the nice way of putting it. I think my initial formulation was, don't you love how we all overreact around one? How we all overdraw, some kind of phenomenon or some kind of like single thing that happened in round one, and then like try to turn that into a trend. If it happens 2 weeks in a row, it's a trend.
It's a trend. I was watching. I was over at Perth for the doubleheader on the weekend, but I was watching every now and then the Twitter responses to Penrith getting basically lapped in the first half, and all the predictions about, oh, this is terrible, this is the same old year for Penrith, blah, 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 and
another 40 minutes of football, and that was, completely inverted, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And so we're going to have a look at what you guys responded with as far as our question can our stars of week one continue on and maybe even jag a medal like a Dally M or something. A few of you have nominated some high performers in the first round. That
and some of you really haven't, but that's fine. Fine too.
Some of you went off track, but we like it when that happens. It's very funny. And then we'll have a look at our brand new magazine. Which edition is that? It's our
April
edition, yeah. which will be on sale by the time you listen to this podcast. Yeah. So
it's the AFL preview, but it's because we have. I think somehow we've made it for ourselves. We've got to mention the AFL in the first 5 minutes of the show every week. I don't know how that's happened. It's probably my fault, but anyhow.
No, it always happens, doesn't it?
It really, really does. Yeah. Anyhow, our usual opening segment, the most rugby league thing we did this week. What I will nominate this week is, and I'll throw you into this one as well, James.
Yeah.
We both got haircuts. We both got haircuts, and because this is, we've got to inform the listeners because it's not a visual medium, but anyhow. We both got haircuts, and I go into the barbers.
I thought you got one.
What, you couldn't tell?
I came back in here this morning from Perth, and I thought, Jeff's had a haircut. Isn't this a riveting podcast?
This is observant. Anyhow, so I plop myself in the seat, and I told the barber, give me the Aaron Woods. And it makes me shocked to know that I to flip on the TV the next day to watch, Canterbury play the Melbourne Storm, and he's completely changed his hairstyle. Then I find out after the weekend, he's completely gotten rid of that hairstyle because, he was being made fun of it because it's even worse than his old hairstyle.
So what's his new one? What's his latest
one? He hasn't kind of released it to the public yet, apparently. He kept it under a hat at training. They say he's just cut it all off, but he went from looking like a girl to looking like a little girl, I think, with that hair.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, with the hair that he had against the Storm. Well, you were there in, so that's the most league thing I did this week. Not very leaguey, but, in any case, you were actually in Perth to kind of witness what was going on. So, inform us about your kind of grand adventure across this continent, this island continent.
So fired up by that article that we had in last edition about the ultimate road trip, I thought I'd put my money where my mouth was and
here we go,
and go over to Perth to watch the doubleheader. I didn't really know what to expect as far as the whole, not the fan experience, but what sort of person this event would attract.
Mm.
Because we're led to believe over here in the East that just because the region hasn't had a league team since the sort of late 90s, that the game must have been forgotten about. But I was really, really pleasantly surprised when we got out of the taxi and had that rugby league feel about it. Like, you know how, I don't know whether it was the jerseys or the range of jerseys.
Let me cut in here with a question. Yeah. Did you see anybody in a Reds jersey?
No, I didn't.
Oh, disappointing.
But I did see someone in a retro Newtown Jets jersey.
So the Western Reds have been forgotten, but yeah, hipsters are forever, I guess.
Yeah, they're obviously staking a claim there, the Newtown Jets. But yeah, it had that rugby league feel. I've been to enough sporting events now to you know, tell whether, you know, a crowd is right into an event or not. And they were flooding in. I wasn't surprised about that 38,000 crowd. That was, but the stadium itself is, like, honestly, you have to come up with an excuse to go over to Perth to go to that stadium. It is a brilliant
venue. It really is that good?
Yeah. I've been to, we've both been to a lot of stadiums, haven't we? Like, yeah. I've been to Old Trafford, Yankee Stadium, been to Millennium Stadium in Cardiff, been to Suncorp, I rate that right up there, but this one is really, really terrific. Been to Adelaide as well, since you've got one of your favourite grounds, and it is, as you said this morning in a private conversation.
It wasn't that private.
Well, it wasn't.
I'm probably saying it from the top of my lungs, as I usually do in the office. So
I said, it is really, really good. It is probably the benchmark now. And then you said, every new stadium is the new benchmark, isn't it?
It's just it.
You're not going to build a stadium that is behind in any way anymore, are you? The competition for investment dollars is so
big. I think it's happened probably semi-occasionally, but realistically, I mean, that's the problem. Every new, I think my actual words were, every new stadium is kind of, is the best stadium. And I think the other point I was big impression I was taking from what you were telling me was that every time you turn up to one of these things, like, kind of there's kind of a new car kind of quality to it, isn't it? That really kind of like impresses you.
It smelled nice.
Exactly. And I mean, that's why, and kind of the class of kind of like decision makers, be they in politics or sporting officials or so forth, tourism bodies, so on and so, those types of guys and gals, they get to go to places like these, and then kind of those ideas filter back to wherever home is for them, and then you have a situation like what we have here in Sydney in New South Wales, where you have like people who are kind of hell-bent on, yes, we need like these kinds of facilities, like, because geez, they have them in Adelaide and they have them in Perth, and we'll even go so far as like demolishing two functional kind of stadiums to get them. So it's but it's hard not to be impressed by it, isn't it?
Definitely.
Like, even if I'd venture to say that I think you kind of fall down on the side as I and like many other kind of people even within sport who believe that Allianz and ANZ are perfectly kind of functional buildings right now, but it's hard not to be impressed by something new like Optus.
And it's just the added features on it, like what they can do with the scoreboard seems pretty dynamic. It's got the scoreboards at this venue seem to be just a little bit deeper, and you can add all those different graphics and all that sort of thing, and it's got these bands that go around sort of halfway up halfway around the whole grandstand sort of coliseum type thing, and they have different messages and all that sort of thing. Had a bit of a baseball feel to it, which is always going to be a winner with me.
How was the food?
I was hobnobbing it, so it was really good.
Oh god, here we go.
I don't want to say anymore, but
James, suffice to say, James does not travel in the economy class of rugby league anymore. He can identify what a rugby league crowd feels like from his perch.
I do so.
His perch now, from wherever he sits in his perch. So, but anyway, no, to kind of get away from the stadium thing, just back to...
Can I just add one more thing?
Sure, sorry, yeah.
Well, my last thing is, I get the whole stadium investment thing now.
Yeah.
That stadium is going to bring in so many dollars for Perth. Mm-hmm. you know, it's going to get so much, so many more events and et cetera, et cetera. They're just going to look straight to Perth when, you know, concerts and all that sort of thing are talking about coming to Australia. So you have to be in the game, don't you?
I do. I mean, I'm not against new stadiums. I like them as much as the next guy. My problem with, and I'm not even against in principle, putting in new buildings here in Sydney.
Yeah.
Because I think particularly Allianz was probably in need of an upgrade. It's a 30-year-old building.
Yeah, true.
And, you know, I'm most definitely on the side of making them easier to get to.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, definitely.
But the infrastructure and then kind of the transportation nodes around, like, could need some figuring out.
Yeah.
What I really don't like, and what worries me more than anything else, is this trend towards these things become obsolete within about 10 to 20 years. They've only got a functional life of about a little more than a decade plus. And I think that's getting narrower and narrower. And because of that, we don't build sports stadiums for the long term anymore. We don't build them to think of, oh, this will become kind of an institution and become a landmark over, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. We really are thinking in terms of, about a decade, we're going to have to probably tear this up and do it and do it over again just to keep up. It's like I said, they've become like restaurants and nightclubs, when you do that. You know, just places that, you know, are hot once they when they open, but, you know, as time goes on, they depreciate in a cultural sense massively. That's what worries me about the character of the modern sports stadium. But anyway, what I wanted to ask you is to kind of bend kind of a bit of this conversation back as a finishing note about rugby league in WA.
Like,
did you get a feel for what could be the kind of support out there? I think we are on a track inevitably. If the league does expand, that there will be a team out there. Do you think it can be done, in a better way, in a more sustainable way, the next time around?
I think so. As I've said before, the best way of going about expansion in the modern era is to tell wherever you're expanding to, tell the people that we're interested in you, and we're really keen to share our game with you guys. With the new, I'm only just completely talking off the top of my hat here, but the new TV rights will expire in 5 years. I reckon now's the right time to say, on the back of this doubleheader, on the back of the Force leaving town, how does your own team in Perth in 6 years' time sound? Mm-hmm. That will give everybody the time to invest the right funds and in the right staff and for the clubs there that already exist to start building momentum.
Right.
Just finally, there's something like 4,000 participants.
There you go. It's a start.
So that's a start. Yeah, you're not. It's not like Adelaide. It's not like Tasmania.
Where there's nothing.
So that's. It's got quite a good future at the head of it, I reckon.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know whether you're going to put one in. I'm just speculating.
I mean, it's the one that makes the most sense.
Definitely.
If you're going to strike for a green field, that would be the one. I mean, there's many more things that have to go into it in terms of, can you find, they'd probably have to line up kind of the rectangular stadium out there, NIB.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd have to, kind of get the administrative elements right. You'd have to kind of build that little base of commercial support. I think it's incredibly, encouraging that you can get almost 40,000 people out to a league, to a couple of league matches in Perth. It tells me that there is enough of an base of interest to sustain kind of a decent enough home crowd going forward.
And next year, of course, you've got Origin.
Yeah.
State of Origin will sell out in 5 minutes.
That's right. Yeah.
Good times ahead for Perth Rugby League, I reckon. I met all the guys who are behind it, the chairman of the WA Rugby League and a lot of the key stakeholders, and they're all excited about the doubleheader. So, it's a bit of a different journey, but... Yeah, it just goes to show that there are efforts being made to spread the game. what are we going to talk about now? What we're most looking forward to for
For this weekend? The next segment.
What a grand entrance to a segment that was. Sorry. What we're looking forward to most this weekend is. Should I go first?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. The old blockbuster is grudge match, whatever you want to call it. That's going to be well and truly on show this weekend. We've got four massive matches between teams that hate each other, so it's a way to go. You got on Thursday night opening the round. You got the Cronulla, whoever they're called, up against the Dragons.
Very good. Taking your cues from your leader.
Yeah. So the Sharks versus the Dragons. That's always a terrific game down there at Endeavour Field. Then on Friday, you got the Roosters taking on the Bulldogs. They don't exchange Christmas cards either, those two teams. And then later that night, the Broncos taking on the Cowboys. So it was one of the key fixtures on any NRL draw. And then on Sunday, it ends with Manly taking on Parramatta at Brookvale. So can't wait for all those
It's always
games.
A solid formula. You can put on kind of any game in round one because people will watch because they're desperate to see rugby league again. And then you actually wait to put on the good stuff in the next 3 to 4 weeks. That's always,
that's right.
Just anecdotally, I've always wondered when looking at footy schedules. Yeah, round one will always be a bit the opening weekend is always a bit subdued in terms of just the nature of the matchups. Yeah. But, you will generally see the good stuff come down the pipe between over the next 4 weeks. Yeah. So it should be really good. I of course kind of said to you on Twitter that the grudge match I'm looking forward to is the Canberra Raiders against their own fans, who are absolutely tearing their hair out now at the capacity of this team to lose close games after holding big leads. It's getting kind of funny already down in the capital. So
I didn't see that one. Did you watch it?
No. I don't watch the Gold Coast. Remember?
Yeah, terrible team. Ash Taylor with his four line break assists every game and his four try assists.
And now because the Broncos are desperate to get him back.
bad luck. So what about yourself, mate? What are you most looking forward to this weekend?
Well, the thing that, as mentioned earlier in the pod, the thing I kind of really love is when we draw from the lessons of week one. It's funny because by the end of the season, we won't even remember what's happened this week.
It's like trial matches, hey? Really? You lose a trial, it doesn't matter.
Really, although you kind of think to yourself, what was it in round one last year? Did the Cowboys win that game off the crossbar in round one last year? Or was that week two?
No, that was opening round.
That was opening round last year.
That was against Canberra.
See, yeah, so that's, I guess certain things can, if they don't win that match, they don't make the finals.
No, true.
And then, they don't...
Well, you're right.
Yeah, they don't make the grand final. So, it's...
Yeah. Sorry, you're right.
I guess, I guess everything does count. So for me, it was, we're very much in this game pretty much from the start of the year, after the new year, we're trying to prognosticate what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so what I love about round one is basically the wrapper comes off and we get to see whether what we've been talking about, all this chatter, it gets borne out by reality. And, that's what I'm always keen to see. One of the things that intrigued me in round one was that I thought... For much of the first half and for the entire game, I thought Canterbury's attack, which was absolutely putrid last year, looked really pretty good. The ball was moving. I thought Kieran Foran had control when the Bulldogs were in attack. I thought Moses Mbai was fantastic.
Yeah, there's a lot of
chatter from fullback. For a team that I was pretty won on, and a lot of other people around this joint, I won't mention any names, thought we'd finish 14th. I think their ceiling looks a lot higher than and I'm not saying top four high or even top four high, but looks a lot better than what it was this time last week.
Yeah.
So that was definitely them. To see a team that I was really kind of optimistic about. I was pretty high on St. George.
Yeah.
Kind of live up to it as that game went on. It's always kind of gratifying to see kind of a prediction that you made, kind of again get kind of validated. And they looked really good. And
James Graham and Ben Hunt.
Yeah, and somebody made the point. And one of the commentators made the point. Can't remember who it was. The coverage I was watching, maybe Braith and Asta. That Gareth Widdop might have been the best player in the competition through the first seven rounds of last year. Like, he was really terrific.
And he was
terrific again. Until he got injured, kind of, you know, in after about, what was it? I think it was about round seven, kind of, last year. On the other side of the flip, on the flip side, I'm curious to see those sides that kind of, disappointed in round one.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm talking here about your Broncos, your Rabbitohs.
Yep.
Whether they turn it around quite quickly and can kind of dispel, because they can. It's, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's only one match. I mean, sure, there are legitimate concerns to be had there. Like, you know, as I was saying to you earlier, I mean, you know, Souths and NZ, it didn't really look like anybody was tackling in that game. No. they were just going back and forth, up and down the field.
But did you see any of the Roosters Tigers game?
That was the one I kind of missed. It was a bit too early for me on the Saturday, I believe.
Yeah.
And I really kind of then missed an opportunity to see a replay. It's a shame, because it's one I really wanted to. But honestly, thinking it from a tipping perspective, I was kicking myself, because that is the one that if the Roosters are going to lose, you know, kind of a new team with, a team with a lot of new elements to it, that's exactly the kind of game you're going to lose. I was kicking myself that I wasn't able to kind of, scope out that round one upset.
And I suppose the other game, as far as will what happened in round one continue, you're just hoping that the Knights back up with enough energy carrying on from last week to put in again.
Very true.
But that was
a really good match.
All-time great.
Saw that one.
Still
not sure about whether kicking field goals is the best way to finish a rugby league match, but you know.
It is
what it is. I mean, those are the rules.
But. It was a massive, not a relief, but just a celebration of Mitchell Pearce, wasn't it? Like, he's gone through the crap part of his career.
Mm.
What happened was exactly what he moved up to Newcastle for, wasn't it? To be the new leader of the team and to just kick them home.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. Yeah. It was exciting.
It would have been, you know, as a journo, I mean, I have no club, but I'm decidedly cheer for the story. And that was one where you really... I felt, you know, for the story, Newcastle really had to win. So I surprised myself at how much I was watching that, you know, that extra time I was pulling for the Knights.
Did you team Newcastle?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. How everyone seemed to be confident that they were going to beat Manly, despite all these new names coming in.
Yeah.
And they pulled the win off.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought, just as an energy thing, that you But again, you know, when in the grand scheme of things, I think a lot of Golden Point wins are effectively random results.
You can
almost say to yourself, that's one that you could easily kind of go in the other direction with. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of what we overreact to in week two, basically, because you know you get a kind of a result. It's always the great fun where, Newcastle, everything's happy, and if they get smashed in week two, oh no, what's going on here?
I do
believe that if Brisbane were to have chalk up another really bad loss, that panic will set in there.
And everybody starts questioning Wayne Bennett's coaching abilities.
I couldn't
after 35,000 years in the game.
I was speaking to a Brisbane-based crony of mine, and he was talking about how, you know, yeah, the pressure will come for Bennett this year if they can't get it. And I could not believe it. I was gobsmacked. And I said, really? What, Wayne? And he was like, yeah. And now I'm beginning to believe him.
Is this someone who knows what's going on?
I don't know. I thought everybody in Brisbane knew rugby league. So, you know.
Good one, mate. It was very good. Whenever we can throw the boot into Queensland rugby league, We do it, don't we?
It's not like they're suffering.
yeah, the poor young fellas up there.
Yeah, I know. Like, you know, Queensland Rugby League is not at a low ebb.
It's flying.
You need to be taken down a few notches every so often, just to keep their ego in check.
In fact, give us some players to use down here, whatever. Yeah. Mm. Okay, so on the back of that opening round, where a few unexpected things happened, a few unexpected results, and heroic players emerged. I threw out on Twitter. When did I do this? Can't remember. It was on Monday. Who were some of the less expected players who people might want to nominate for the Dally M?
Were you angling at someone here, James?
No, not really. No.
Come on, you don't have one.
Okay. I don't know how left field it is, but. Mitchell Pearce, I think he would be mine. Mm. I mean, I'm supposed to say Nathan Cleary because of Penrith, but no, he's a little bit too young for that yet. But, yeah, or yeah. I'd go for Pearce. Who would you go for?
Oh, just to troll you, Damien Cook.
Yeah, troll you. Now that we've brought that up, Jeff owes me an apology because he's been bagging my. Prediction of Damien Cook to be a great player, and you finally watched him, didn't you, in the Charity Shield?
Oh yeah.
And what did he do in the Charity Shield?
Oh, he was fantastic.
He'll probably break his leg this week. No, you know what he'll do this week? He'll score 3 tries against Penrith. That's what he'll do.
There you go.
He'll smash. Yeah, he'll smash us to pieces. So Damien Cook for you. All right. And so I asked.
You want a real one?
Yeah.
Gareth Widdop.
Okay.
Although I don't see how that's not too left field really at the moment, really, honestly. So yeah. It's and maybe I'm overdrawing from the lessons of round one, but why not that?
Yeah, cool. Well, let's get to our listeners' suggestions and I feel that they weren't being left field enough like us. They're being pretty conservative. So, anyway, we could go with
you
Joe.
You call this conservative?
Joe Hedger. He nominates Henderson Gill. Never say never.
Henderson Gill is back.
Yeah. He nominates someone who played in the 1980s. So there you go. He's been pretty conservative there too, Joe. Andrew Mado. I don't know where you were going, Andrew, but you've nominated George Pell from far left field. He could go close. David Smith's back. So we heard from David Smith for the first time last week. And
No, this is the other David Smith. This, in fact, is my David Smith.
Your David Smith?
Yes.
Oh, right. Your brother-in-law.
He's my brother-in-law.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, you read it out then. You read out Dave Smith's contribution.
This is a very David Smith thing to say. Yeah. Todd Kearney until a mid-season. I'm reading it in the voice of one of his sons, my nephew. Nephews. Todd Kearney until a mid-season incident makes him ineligible.
You're a bastard. Oh, God.
Good on you, Dave. See you soon.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you will.
We'll have to kind of give you some kind of designation to sort you out from the other kind of, league-related. This is about our fourth Dave Smith,
isn't
it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. It's,
third Dave Smith plus fake Dave Smith.
I don't know what's going on. That's it.
Because we had the one last week. We have my brother-in-law. We have fake Dave Smith. And I insist that Welsh banker, former real Dave Smith, is following us from somewhere.
Yeah.
From his parachute paid out jumping castle in his backyard and wherever he lives.
That's how busy he is. He's got time to listen to us. AJ Mithen says, the Charlie Gov experience begins this Sunday. Start engraving all the media awards and save yourselves some time. That's gold. Good contribution. Thanks, AJ. Karate Warrior 2, massive fan of the show and the mag. Sorry, James, but this is a Benji Marshall special into row 13. Change it or else I threaten to nominate Mitchell Moses for Dally M. And welcome to the great apocalypse. Mitchell Moses, that's more left field than Mitchell Pearce, isn't it? Mitchell Moses, can he do it? Can Mitchell Moses win the Dally M?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, one day he might.
Well, listen, here's the thing. If Parra has a good year,
yeah,
and after about 40 minutes, yeah, on was it Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday.
You really believe... Well, admittedly, he got hurt, didn't he? So that's, that probably doesn't kind of actually square up with reality.
But
you know, he is in a prize position on what is really one of the most popular teams in the league that has a chance to be good.
Yeah.
I think those are all the elements that can lead to a left field... yeah, kind of Dally M campaign. Yeah. But like, I reckon if you are not, if you're outside like the Tamalolo, Kronk, Smith, Thurston axis, I think you've got to play on a high profile team that will be in the top four.
Yeah, yeah. And Parra's.
I think Parra ticks most of those boxes.
Yeah.
And in general, I think it'll help if you're probably to add that you're a playmaker.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's...
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to Tigers fans, but he's stepped up a level since leaving them. Yes. Whatever was going on.
Yeah, but in terms of equilibrium, Tedesco did the opposite, didn't he? So it all balances out in nature, doesn't it?
It does.
Overdrawing from round one.
That's right.
We should have gotten a bell, just a ring, every time you know, we overdraw. Maybe we'll annotate this this podcast in post production, where every time we overdraw from round one, we just ring a bell.
We're doing exactly what we're accusing other people of.
Exactly. That's kind of the way it works, isn't it? You know, identify the problem, then commit the problem. You know, so people think you're self aware.
That's right. Sam Stevens is right on our money. He says, going on round one, and if they keep that up the whole season, you have to consider Ben Hunt, Benji Marshall, or RTS. RTS would be a bit of a left field one.
Yeah. Good nominations, but I actually think we got it backwards on Ben Hunt. I actually think Ben Hunt makes Widdup better. And that's why I put Widdup out there.
Oh, okay.
It's either that or, you know, we just wouldn't pick an Englishman to win a Dally M again.
No. I don't think one's ever won a Dally M. No.
Well, there you go.
But Ben Hunt was great as well on Friday night. Andrew Ferguson got a little bit embarrassed by his nomination, so I thought, no, we'll make an issue of this. he's nominating Rugby League Project for Dally M. # cheap plug, # leaving now, # shameful. And so I said on Twitter, no, we're gonna mention this because he deserves it, doesn't he?
Oh yeah. Rugby League Project is an # ornament to the game.
It's like the Billy Slater of stats websites, isn't it?
Oh god, here we go.
Andrew's Rugby League Project is brilliant. Like it.
Describe it for you. Yeah. I'm pretty sure all the listeners out there know exactly what it is, because that's the kind of crowd we've got. But, you know, for those who don't.
Yeah, so what you do is you Google someone's name if you're in an argument with your mate or whatever about who played how many games or where this player played. And Wiki comes up and it only shows a bit of a rough guide statistically to where the players have been. But Andrew has really built on the Rugby League Encyclopedia kind of aspect of every player to have played the game. And it's very rarely you come across a question mark in any of the categories, even going right back. Like, you know, just say you're looking for someone from 1912 or whatever. The completed columns and all that kind of thing are really impressive. I don't know how he does it. Like, he must do so much research into all those records. So
Rugby League Project is one of those wonderful kind of websites. It's like, for those people who into movies, spend a lot of time on the Internet Movie Database, you just kind of start on the subject. You ask yourself a question in your head, you got to look that up.
Yeah.
Then you find something else out, and you find another thing out, and you find another thing out, and then, you know, you've just wasted an hour, you know, in the most wonderful way of the Internet, in the way of things on the Internet. I just do recall that only just the other day I was, you know, we were talking and I wanted to clear up a detail in my own mind about the snow game down in Canberra.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
In 2000, the Raiders against the
Tigers. So you started Googling stuff, yeah?
So, yeah, no, I actually went directly to the Rugby League Project
because
I wanted to see who was on the field that day.
Yeah.
And, yeah, some of those names were absolutely golden. Yeah, yeah. So I mean, just to be able to remember, like, who was absolutely there. I can remember we were talking about that game because I had a good story to tell. Maybe I'll tell a story about that sometime. It was an unrelated topic.
Can
so
you
let's,
remember what it is? Because I know exactly.
I know exactly what it is, but we'll save it. I think for the future.
You're going to save it for our snow edition, are you?
Maybe sometime for the winter.
That's cool.
But yeah, no, that's what. I couldn't help but be very, very kind of like amused, at, you know, to see that. I was looking it up, and Laurie was still running around. That was 2000, so Laurie was still running around. You had like kind of legendary figures like Luke DeVico. So you know, it's but.
He deserves it, all the all the praise.
I would vote for a rugby league project for Dalian.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that you can just access it freely is a massive service that Andrew is doing for the game.
Yes,
really should put a paywall.
Charge. Yes,
definitely. Yeah,
or ask for some kind of donation mechanism. Won't, but James will.
I'll be praying for sure. Get me out of a lot of binds, I tell you. Yeah. James Mack nominates Brodie Croft. We'll have time and space and Smith guiding them around. Yeah, it's probably fair enough, isn't it? As far as
if Brodie Croft won the Dally M, doesn't that mean, aren't you basically saying Melbourne's going to win the Premiership again?
And then also, what does that say about Cooper Cronk?
Mm.
That they really, you know.
You know, it galls me, watching the Storm again. How is it that anybody could just let them have Josh Adokar?
Yeah.
How good is he?
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it just baffles, explodes my mind that, you know, they can just kind of go and sign him.
Yeah.
You know, surely people had a fairly good idea of how good this guy was, when he was running around ISP here in New South Wales. And then he just absolutely, he's got I think it was a hat trick, wasn't it? Or at least a brace when he was playing for the Tigers against the Storm. We often claim this. You know, the Storm are geniuses, but you know, it's not hard. Like they basically saw this guy just rip him up and said, "Okay, we'll go sign him for next year."
If you can't beat them, then you're still their players.
That's right.
I think it was at Leichhardt. Yeah, they came up to Leichhardt. Yeah. Got beaten by the Tigers. Yeah, were impressed by Josh Adokar, and then now he's in his fourth or fifth year for him. Such a good player, isn't he?
I mean,
such a good player.
I mean, that try, that long try they scored, which I thought was really, really swung the momentum of the game. It was Munster's. Munster made it, but
he still had to put in the footwork.
Yeah,
Josh Adokar,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's.
Didn't notice a great deal about Brodie Croft, who James. I can't remember much about what he did, but I'm sure he was good. And finally, Jay Dwight. One of our recent additions as a listener nominates Blake Green.
Blake Green.
Yeah. Let's assume the Warriors' win wasn't an atypical performance and they make the eight. It'll be on the back of Green providing the structure for consistent performance and allowing Johnson to run amok. That's what they bought Green for.
Surely nobody but Sean Johnson could win off that club.
Oh.
Particularly watching him on that weekend, like to be reminded just how good that guy is.
Yeah.
That try he created before halftime.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I'm trying to think who else there would be. Someone mentioned RTS before.
Mm.
Sam Stevens nominated RTS, but you're right. With Foran gone, he's basically everything now. And if Green can do what he was doing at Manly, just supporting.
My wife's new favourite player, Sean Johnson.
Really?
Yep. Had the game on, was watching, and she said, "Who's that?" I said, "That's Sean Johnson." She'd never heard of him.
Oh, okay.
And she follows rugby league.
Doesn't she like any Dragons players ahead of Sean Johnson?
Probably, but you know, Sean Johnson is her new favourite player. I guess she wasn't watching the Warriors. I mean,
fair enough. Yeah.
So there you go.
Excellent. So thanks everyone for your contributions for this week. It's always fun. We're going to nominate. Have a
prize.
Rugby league book up for grabs next week.
So. Yes, we're finally going to do prizes.
Yeah.
Prof. Davis, you can probably win if you really are, and you are usually around the mic. If you win next week, you can get the prize, but not after that.
No, otherwise, it looks like corruption, doesn't it? And all the integrity.
Yeah, and there's never been any corruption in rugby league.
No, that's right. We don't want that crap in our game.
This is encouraging the prof to actually kind of rev up to give us a really great answer for next week.
Yeah, we'll have to think of one. It's always a struggle to think of one, but you guys always support whatever question we throw out there, so all good. And so this Thursday, our April 2017 edition.
2018, mate.
Yeah, I've got 2017. Yeah. I hope Penrith has a good year in 2017.
I'll sell a few April 2017 editions if people want.
Oh, God. There you go.
You can basically see my predictions about, you know, about... who did I have? I think it was GWS winning the comp last year something like that. Yeah.
So, that's close. April 2018 Inside Sport is basically on sale now, and it's got an AFL player on the cover.
Yes.
An AFL player who I reckon would go all right as an NRL player.
You really would, wouldn't he? I can remember when we did I did one of my first stories for Inside Sport like 6 years ago. That was at the height of the Folau Carmichael Hunt switchover.
Oh, was it?
And our old boss, the esteemed Graham Sims, basically gave me the directive: go find a bunch of blogs who rugby league could steal from the AFL. Okay. So that's how basically the editorial kind of directives work in this place. That's, the ideas for stories.
That's right.
And so it was just a fun little exercise. Pick 10 blokes who could you think in the AFL could go okay in the league, and Dustin Martin was really only just trying to do the math in my head right now. Was only about his third or fourth AFL season time, but even then, like he was beginning to show the kind of promise that you know he'd be kind of a good player one day. And that was a name that kind of cropped up that he kind of had in his style of play. Everybody knows about who follows kind of that football. Knows he's kind of got a really kind of good fend on him, and he's very kind of strong kind of in the way he kind of goes forward as a midfielder. So he really kind of cuts a leaguey these days the games have really diverged. It's not very obvious anymore that someone who is a good AFL footballer would necessarily translate to a good leaguey and the other way around, whereas I think maybe 30 years ago there was a more kind of common type generic good footballer, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case anymore.
No.
Dustin Martin, I think, is definitely one of them. And it's interesting to hear you kind of bring that up.
No, excellent. And so as far as league, last month was our big league preview edition, and this month is AFL, but there's still takes.
There is league in the mag. We haven't left our fans high and dry.
Yeah. So Warren Smith from Fox Sports has written a column for us about basically what happens to...
the best caller in the game.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Him or Vossi?
Vossi gets they're both. They're both good, but I prefer Warren. And it could be just a stylistic thing.
All right, yeah, fair enough. I like the sort of the dorkiness and the knowledge.
I could see that.
Yeah, the deep knowledge of the game that Vossi has, but we don't want to start a fight there.
We already have.
We have, yeah.
You can see that going back over, a couple blocks away in our time, and
because of what we said.
Vossi and Smithy have kind of start throwing things at each other. I'm the best. No, I am the best.
Imagine that.
And the people at Nine are not listening at all.
No, exactly.
People at Nine are asking, "What's a podcast?"
Look out. So Warren basically asks, "What happens to the coaches who don't have a job now but could still very well, fill a spot perhaps in an expanded competition?" And he mainly talks about people like Des Hasler and Madge Maguire at South. So it's a pretty good insight. Mm-hmm. But the main feature in our current edition is a story on Jordan Rapana, or Jordan Rapana.
Rapana.
Rapana. And it's very cleverly headlined by yourself, Jeff.
No, don't do that.
As Crossing Jordan. I love that headline. It's good. You've done well.
Me and my inveterate love of late 90s, kind of dramedy. Not even dramedy, drama.
What can you give us an outline about what Matt Cleary has produced for us here?
Yeah, I mean, in the spirit of those fairly fuzzy editorial directives I was just alluding to earlier, I told Matt, go get a story, and go get a rugby league story. So he kind of went off and, the Canberra guy that he is, says, "How about Jordan Rapana?" And I said, "Okay, fine."
He probably
But, is. It is the thing. Like, he came back, of course, I very much respect Rapana as I think is one of the competition's really kind of prolific performers in the last couple of seasons.
It's so consistent.
Even as the Raiders' fortunes have kind of gone up and then down, his performance hasn't wavered.
No.
He's really been kind of one of the best wingers in the comp. I didn't realize, as it might be true for a lot of kind of players in the league, kind of what kind of went into his background, and to put it kind of concisely, he was one of those guys who went on a mission.
Yep.
It didn't get the attention, say that Willa Hoppawattie's did, because I don't remember this at all. But he went on a mission, and he did this just after making his debut as a teenager back in 08 with Gold Coast.
And cool.
Yeah, because of that mission, he just kind of got lost to the league.
Okay.
And it wasn't until maybe about four or five seasons later that he kind of pops back up again after having been away on that mission and then a detour through rugby union. And kind of what blows my mind about him is that one of the things about that I've come to appreciate about kind of all our rugby league, but also probably our footy codes here in Australia in general, is that I think everybody kind of strains for talent. They're trying to kind of find enough first grade caliber bodies, guys who they know can play at an elite level. And it kind of blows my mind that that here Rapana was basically running around club rugby in Canberra when they kind of found him. That they struggled to find kind of so many capable kind of bodies to play first grade, and that to me is the source of why your Todd Carneys of the world get so many chances, just because there's just not enough guys who can play up to the grade.
Yeah.
But here was this guy who was just around, running around kind of a level of rugby that wouldn't even be kind of like Sydney grade. So he turns out to be kind of one of the top wingers in the comp.
No.
But
I was just gonna say, I love the anecdote in there about he actually has a bit of a think about it and decides to contact Dave Ferner, the greatest coach at the time, and I don't know whether he pled or whatever, but he said, look, listen, I'm confident in my own abilities.
Mm.
I'm not the most outspoken bloke out there, but I can play footy.
Yeah.
How about giving me a go?
And
it goes, it's like a bit of the reversal of what usually happens. Hey, like a player's manager will do all that sort of work for the player, but he's just literally knocked on Dave Ferner's door and said, this is who I am, and how about giving me a shot?
Well, it's like Matt was telling me when he was kind of like assembling the story, that it's kind of interesting that kind of self-belief very much came from his experience as a Mormon missionary.
Right.
As a Mormon missionary, what you do is you go away for 2 years to a foreign country and you knock on doors and you get told some very unkind things. Basically about where to go for most of the time. It's very rare that you kind of find a willing audience.
And after a while, you're numb to it, aren't you?
Well, it's not so much numb. You just kind of build up kind of a defense, a kind of a thickness to your skin, or kind of a confidence in what you're actually trying to tell people.
Fair
that
enough.
It very much kind of was convincing to me that having done that, it wasn't so difficult for him, to go up to the coach of an NRL club, and say, "Hey, give me a chance," So it's extremely, very very interesting kind of. I can fully commend, as always, I fully commend kind of, the story, to the readers.
Yeah, no, terrific. And there's plenty of, as usual, plenty of other great sporting content in there for people who love to have a bit of a read about just about everything, isn't there? So
yes,
all good.
I apologise. Less AFL going forward.
For the sake
we'll be back to normal service kind of after this month.
I've been told by people on Twitter that they're not buying a certain issue of a magazine or whatever because of what's on the cover. not buying that because X is on the cover.
Really?
Yeah.
X as in the other code, or X as in like someone from their own code, but you know they don't like.
Oh no, I'm talking about like everything, like general magazine type world.
Oh, right.
A magazine subject says a lot about like, you know, whether someone will buy one or not. Whereas okay. if I see a magazine at an airport and I feel like consuming that kind of content, then I'm just going to get it. I must be weird though.
Okay.
on that note, I think we've run out of steam, haven't we?
Speak for yourself.
That red eye is catching up with me.
James has been thrown by the time difference, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's, what time is it? Yeah, it's... In a different world back in Perth, where I'm from.
This is one of those things that, you know, it'll be interesting when Perth enters yeah. the league. We'll now have the kind of the wonderful talking point about how all the teams who have to make that long road trip over there get tired.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah, and it's going to be a battle, isn't it? They're going to have to arrive 2 or 3 days beforehand. So it's more of a time difference than what you realise, like 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. All right, we'll stop gibbering and get back to work. Anything more to add, mate?
No, we'll just hope you tune in next week.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. All right, see you later.
See you.